What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's July 1st, right? Tomorrow. There's 30 days in June, right, Mark? We have that. So tomorrow's July 1st. We're recording this on June 30th, so I got a little confused for a minute. But as you're watching this, it's Tuesday, July 1st, 2025. Halfway through 2025 already. It's been a whirlwind, but also going by pretty damn fast at the same time. So,
you know, this means we're closer to 2050 than 2000, right?
Yeah, I know that. Yes, it's insane. Yeah, we're the first quarter of the 21st century is drawing to a close now already. So pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a fun show today. I want to talk about the insane reaction to Zoran Mamdani winning the New York Senate, New York mayoral Democratic primary, because it's a lot of funny shit happening from the world's most vindictive, petty, and stupid people. Before that, we're going to talk about Alligator Alcatraz and Peter Thiel openly saying he wants to murder all of humanity, which, to be fair, he sort of whiffly waffles on it, but we'll talk about that. Before we get to the show, did you keep track of what happened at Glastonbury, the music festival over the weekend?
No, my music festival days are long, long behind me. I used to be into that whole thing, but no longer.
As Nick, this is not a solid Scottish accent. So, as an example of people in power going fucking insane and just like shitting their pants over anything related to Israel, I want to like recap the sequence of events here. A couple months ago, Kneecap, the Irish rap group, named after the IRA's penchant for shooting collaborators with the British Empire in the knees, so you can take a wild stab at their politics, rap about killing the queen and shit. They were at Coachella, and they led the crowd in a Free Palestine chant, while on the screen was "Fuck Israel, Free Palestine." Okay, mm-hmm. On the YouTube stream, the Coachella people decided to bleep "fuck," which sort of makes sense, except they don't censor anybody else's language over anything. But they also bleeped "free." Mm-hmm. So if you watch it back, it sounds like they're going "bleep Israel, bleep Palestine."
Right? Yeah. Yeah. We don't like any of them.
No. Even-handed. We're split unanimous.
Yeah.
So in response to that, the UK government decided to charge Kneecap with like material support of terrorism.
Okay, because like, you said Irish rap group. So they're from Northern Ireland specifically. You said their name was the IRA. So they're...
I believe so, but yeah.
Well, that would make them... Yeah. Because the UK, you know, if they're Northern Irish, then the UK has...
Jurisdiction
over them or whatever, and can actually do something to them if they wanted to, I guess. Or
yeah, so they had their arraignment last week, and they basically demanded to have an Irish interpreter because they didn't want to speak English. I fucking love the Irish. All right, so fast forward to this weekend. All right, Glastonbury is being broadcast on the BBC. BBC does not want to show Kneecap because they're afraid they're going to say Free Palestine. Mm-hmm. So they cut to another stage where a band's performing called Bob Villain. Okay, Bob Villain, besides having the word villain in their name, is made up of two guys whose names are Bobby Villain and Bobby Villain.
Okay.
They don't tell anybody their real names because they're worried about government surveillance.
Sure.
And they have like one of their most popular songs, the chorus of it is "Landlord, just raise your rent, better get yourself a gun." So obviously the smart choice was to cut to them because they immediately led the crowd in a chant of "death, death to the IDF."
Okay.
So what have we learned here? Nothing.
Yeah.
The BBC famously refused to play the Beatles song "Come Together," tried to censor it, and we famously never heard it. All of us never heard "Come Together."
Right.
Can everybody just stop being fucking babies?
Yeah. Where did the, it's like, I don't know. But you know, like this, the spirit of rock and roll and punk and hip hop and all those things is a kind of, you know, fuck authority, damn the man mentality since day one of the saga. It's like, just don't show fucking rock and roll festivals on primetime network television or whatever. Huh? You're not into a little bit of, anarchy. But didn't Kneecap's fans at some festival or something also like boo Rod Stewart off the stage or something and chant "older than Israel" or something like that? To Rod?
Yeah.
Like, where did that happen? Because that's also very funny because he literally is older than Israel by 3 years.
Rod Stewart came out a supporter of Nigel Farage, who's like, so yeah. Then the crowd, like the Kneecap got on, Kneecap was asked about it. Because Bob Villain's other song, it's like, we heard you want your country back. Fuck you. All right. Which is basically just addressed in Nigel Farage. And, anyway, so so they're friends. The kneecap was asked about it. They were like, Rod Stewart's older than Israel, which is, like you said, is literally true. But the whole thing of trying to stop this shit, a little old lady by the name of Helen from Wales broadcast kneecap set on her phone. And was getting so many views that it burnt her hand and she kept broadcasting. She had more views than the BBC feed. What are you guys even doing? Yeah. They have Streisand and affects kneecap into being a global fucking icons.
Right.
I feel like these people have single-handedly brought back rock and roll. I thought it was dead.
Yeah, you're right. Well, there's been a ton of Streisand effect stuff in recent times.
The J.D. Vance meme?
Yeah, the J.D. Vance memes, yes, a great example. But yeah, so many things, they just don't, I don't know. They just don't understand fundamentally how any of that shit works, apparently. And like you can't. It's like telling people that you don't like a nickname they came up with and don't call you that. It's like, well, now you're that for sure. Like, there's no surer way to lock in a nickname than by telling everybody, I don't like that. Don't call me that. Like, it's, you know, and it's schoolyard stuff. You learn this shit in middle school, how this shit works, or you should.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a bunch of people who didn't get enough wedgies in fucking middle school now run the world and think they could reassert their authority over the playground. And it's like the whole point of this stuff is to control public opinion. Does it feel like they're doing it?
Right. I mean, in a way, just not the way that they want to.
Right.
Anyway, all right. Well, Producer Matt's with us doing his thing. We are going to continue. This is Weekly Skews. But before we continue, of course, I got some orders of business for you. First, if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, and you should, go to treycrowder.com. Check out all my upcoming tour dates. I just got back from Wine Country, a lovely show at the Uptown Theater in Napa on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody that came out to that. And then up next, the world-famous Largo Theater in Los Angeles, West Hollywood, specifically in Los Angeles. Next Wednesday night, it's going to be awesome. Then Tulsa, La Jolla Comedy Store, Omaha, Des Moines, Kansas City, Indy, Austin, St. Louis, and a whole bunch more in the near future. Go to treycrowder.com. Come see me. It's a lot of fun. You can also find a link on that website to my most recent special, Trash Daddy. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. Also, a relatively new item of news here at the show, Matt has started a audio exclusive. So if you only watch the show, you never see this, you never hear it, because it's an audio only thing. You have to be subscribed to the audio version of the show on a podcast app to get it. And the producer, Matt, the man of mystery himself, hosts it. It's called Good Skews. Good people doing good things. So me and Mark, we talk about, the important things that happen in the world, and those tend to be very upsetting in recent times. Matt tries to shine a light on some uplifting shit. So I think everybody appreciates that service. But again, you can only get it on the audio version. So subscribe today. And finally, if you want to get more of this show in your life and support us in the process, you can sign up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more. Or go on Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month to get access to 2 full-length bonus episodes. It's just 2 additional episodes of this show per month, although every now and then, and we're due for another one pretty soon. We do Q&As where we answer your burning questions. So there's kind of an interactive portion of it as well. Either way, consider supporting the show. Get some more of it in your life. Sign up on Patreon, please. Now, Mark already told you we're going to be talking about the perhaps the gravest threat Western democracy has ever faced, Zohran Mamdani, international jihadist and Jew hater extraordinaire. That's what I've been hearing anyway from the media.
Also a woke pro-trans communist.
Yes, so Sharia law Muslim, and also super into gays and trans people and stuff like that. At the same time. Yeah, so, because that's how that always works. But anyway, we'll be breaking all that down a little later, but first we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, the people taking me out of context when I said kill all humans, when I clearly just meant kill most humans. This is Peter Thiel.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would
This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit in this.
Should the human race survive?
Yes.
Okay.
But I also,
man, that's almost like on the level of when Sandusky got asked on live TV if he was sexually attracted to young boys, and he was like, what he said? He was like, "What do you mean by young?" Or what he said? He said something crazy like that. He was like, "You know, I don't know about." So it depends on what you know. Depends on how you define that. It's like you just say no to that, man. Or in this case, you just say yes. Of course, I think the human race should survive. It's like, well,
but to his credit, he's not lying.
Yeah,
but like I mean, that's to be praised. You know the old thing, like everything said before the word "but" is a lie.
Right.
Right. So he's so that part's a lie, but the "but" is true. Mm-hmm. So if you guys like this Silicon Valley fucking when I'm not talking about like the regular coders, all right? Like, the Silicon Valley is basically, they've got this phenomenon where, like, if you go in and pitch, like, a regular business, where it's like, I got a good idea for a thing that will help people at a reasonable price and will return you reasonable margins. The money people are like, fuck you, die, right?
Yeah.
But if you're like, I've got an idea for an app that reverse desalinates ocean water through creating cryptocurrency that's mined while through a helmet that people wear while they dream, they're like, brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's stupid, it doesn't work, right? So, like, so the guy that Peter Thiel was talking to there is New York's one of New York Times' resident conservative columnist, Ross Douthat, who's like a hardcore Catholic. So this is like a summit, conservative summit between the two power vectors in the Republican Party. You got the people who believe in God versus the people who believe they are God.
That's yeah,
what Peter Thiel is, right? I think I wish everybody understood, politicians especially, especially the Democratic Party, want to kind of work with these people, that we're in the grips of two doomsday cults, okay? You got the end times, like evangelicals, mm-hmm. who want to help Israel go to war with Iran
to bring
Jesus
about,
comes back.
Right, the rapture, the book of Revelation or whatever, yeah, the return and then of Christ.
And then you got the people like Peter Thiel who want to help Israel bomb Iran to train your artificial intelligence so that computer Jesus can come back. Okay? So, like, these people really do believe in transhumanism, uploading your consciousness to the cloud. Like, they're basically imagining a future where their consciousness can live on forever without causing any environmental damage because they will not exist in the physical plane.
Yeah. Okay. Look. I think maybe we've talked about this on here before, but maybe I'm thinking about one of my other podcasts. I know I've mentioned the fact that it's been hard for me to, I just feel so naive and everything at this point in my life, because my whole life growing up, I've been very into futurology and that type of thing, the potential of the future and technology and where we could be going. And it's just somehow never occurred to me that it would be, you know, the bad version of it all or whatever.
Have you never seen a science fiction movie? It's always the bad version.
I've read all the books and seen all of them. yes, they are always bad. But usually also those are making some – well, this doesn't help my case. I was going to say, you know, there's like social commentary about our present culture, but that implies that the problems we have today would fuck us in the future, which is exactly what is happening. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Like you say that to me – the idea of that, like that, you know, the Black Mirror episode with the two lesbians on the beach where they're in like that. It's like the only Black Mirror episode that ever has a happy ending. And it's like them live. It's like The Notebook, but they are young together in fucking digital eternity on a beach in a computer somewhere at the end of it. You know, I like that. I like the idea of that. But we're not going to – you can't – have you ever read the book, the short story, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream? Because probably what it would be, which is
hell on
earth.
Something like these guys are so fucking arrogant. Like they really do believe all this stuff and they're pushing us towards this future. And that's the reason they're willing to crack whatever eggs they have to crack to make this omelet. But one thing I want everyone, people talk about AI and AGI and like transhumanism, all this shit, and making computers conscious. We still don't know how human consciousness works.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem that people have been trying to figure out for the entirety of human history. It's what the fucking Book of Genesis is about. So like we can't recreate something that we don't understand.
Right.
Can we just enjoy a miracle?
The other problem with it is even if you could like accurately recreate it or copy it, it being your consciousness, and you could upload it into a digital paradise, that is just a version of you, but it's not the you. You know, like you would just blank out and not ever wake up, and then a computer version of you who has all your memories and stuff would wake up in the digital paradise. But you wouldn't experience that. You like in the Prestige, you know how you never know who's going to be in the box or who's going to come out like that. It would work like that, even if they could recreate it. So it makes it kind of pointless anyway, in my opinion.
Right. But anyway, we got to spend $1 trillion and destroy a bunch of lives trying to do it. While we're on this subject, Elon Musk this week, he said that people with Neuralink brain chips will eventually be able to have full body control and sensors from a Tesla Optimus robot. So you could basically inhabit an Optimus robot. Let me quote here. Yeah. Not just the hand, the whole thing. You could mentally remote into an Optimus robot.
Yep.
To do what?
Right. Yeah. Well, you ever seen the movie Surrogates? The Bruce Willis movie?
It made me think of Altered Carbon, the sci-fi series, the point of that was to save time on space travel, where you could send your consciousness across the universe into mercenaries could do it to send their brains into a body waiting to fight, and they could like flee back once they
buy a battle. In the Bruce Willis, it's basically just you're not in any physical danger. You know what I mean? Like you're at home, like safe or whatever, and you get plowed by a bus. It's just a robot version of you, and you just put yourself into a different robot, and you know, I think that was the idea there. But anyway, right.
So we never have to go outside again.
I know. Okay. Right. Yeah. Also, these robots are not. They're still like clunky and goofy and shit. You know, it's not just.
I was trying to think of use cases for it. I guess you could project your consciousness into a robot at a warehouse. You'd have to commute to the Amazon warehouse you work at. But the main thing people are going to do with it is fuck it. Like, if I put my mind into a Tesla robot and jerk myself off, is it gay, Trey?
Yeah, the ultimate stranger.
Right.
But maybe if you're like quadriplegic or something like that, you know, then maybe they could. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're fully locked in your body physically or something, and you could control a robot, then they'd probably think that's pretty cool. But that's pretty limited.
But you can't feel
right.
Right. So can you just wear VR goggles and look at a view of something walking around? Like it doesn't matter. It's fucking stupid. It'll never happen. He just makes shit up.
Right. Yes. All right. Our next honorable mention is anti-American types who don't think it's cool to set a promo video for a concentration camp to butt rock, baby. The hittinest of all rock, that of the butt. Here we go.
Next month, 5,000 migrants will be housed in trailers and heavy-duty tents at the remote abandoned airfield.
As I call it, Alligator Alcatraz.
In a promotional video set to music, Florida's Attorney General lays out what he considers a deterrent for any potential escapees.
People get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons.
But some local
officials... Right.
Did you hear that guitar shredding in the background?
Yeah. So the public just found out about this thing last week. Like last week, the New York Times reported they were starting construction on Alligator Alcatraz. Like construction was supposed to start Monday, right? The Monday that we're recording on. Now NBC News is reporting that it's opening Tuesday with Trump taking a tour of it. At present, this tent city with no air conditioning or whatever in the fucking Everglades can house 5,000 people, but they want to get it up to 100,000 people?
Yeah.
It's basically a holding pen with an airport. It's an old airport used to use for training base so they can fly deportation flights out of it. This is fucking madness, and I can't believe that this is just happening, and there doesn't seem to be any organized thing to stop it.
So it's like a forward operating base for sending people to the concentration camps or something, or like you say, if they're going to El Salvador, you send them here for like processing. So they're in these little trailers in the Everglades for a while, and then they use that airstrip to ship them off to whatever hellish cell on the other side of the world they're going to.
And the Supreme Court just greenlit third party deportation. So basically, you can send Vietnamese immigrants to South Sudan.
I know. Yeah. What is the rationale for that? Because I just, you know, like, if you want to say, like, oh, no, we're kicking them out of the country, then how do you justify not sending them back to the country they came from? Like, what possible rationale is there for, oh, this Vietnamese guy's here illegally? We're going to send them to Sudan. Like,
a lot of their countries won't take them back.
Right, but...
Yeah.
so what it's like, well, they broke the law by coming in here and their punishment is to go to this prison in another country.
Mm-hmm. Or that, just probably they're probably used as slaves in South Sudan. Like this is right. So fucking bot. Like if anybody, I'm sure everybody knows their history here, but like there was a past fascist power whose original plan was to deport people and eventually ran out of people to take them, including the United States turning around and turning away a boat that Anne Frank was on. So they had to come up with what the a type of solution, like there was a final for this problem, right? Mm-hmm. So this is how you get there, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah. So here's Ron DeSantis giving a tour of this fucking concentration camp to Fox News, of course.
This is going to be illegals will come in. They'll be processed. There'll be places for them to be housed. You'll have an ability for food. You'll have an ability for them to consult legal rights if they have that.
They'll have the ability for food. They'll have the ability for legal rights if they have that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to like point out where the showers are, as if it's like an amenity. Concentration Auschwitz famously did not have showers.
Yeah.
The situation we find ourselves in is like since Hurricane Katrina, there was this fever swamp right wing conspiracy theory that FEMA was building camps to herd people into. Now we're literally using FEMA money to build concentration camps. And the people that spent decades complaining about this possibility under George W. Bush and Barack Obama are now cheering this on like fucking psychos. The whole point of putting this in the Everglades, by the way, is so they can make it lower staffed. They don't have to have as many guards because there's nowhere to run to.
Yeah.
Their plan is to
just deputize the gators down there, like they said. Just put a little badge on the
Here's a real tweet from Homeland Security.
I swear to God, I had not seen that. I did not know they had done that when I said that just now.
Yeah, I was about to call for it, Matt's on point. That's a real tweet from Homeland Security. It's an AI-generated image of alligators wearing ice hats around a fence with razor wire. All right?
Yeah.
Which... the sheer imagery of this is like we're cold-blooded lizard brain killing machines.
Yeah, or you know, we'll happily feed these people to alligators. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it would be funny if anyone tries to run and gets eaten alive by alligators in the swamp. Like that would be hilarious. Don't you all agree? And the alligators would be the good guys there. You'd be cheering on the alligators while they rip, you know, Venezuelans apart or whatever. It's very.
I gotta tell you, if I'm a Venezuelan migrant, I'm risking it. Yeah. Or Cambodian, you're about to send to fucking Sudan. I'm wading through that swamp, baby. And like I guess the only upside here of this being so lightly guarded because it's low budget is like we can do a new underground railroad with swamp boats. I guess if you just run a swamp boat, you can go get your family back. They're selling beer koozies with alligator Alcatraz branding on it, if you got this image, Matt. There's a t-shirt in Florida. Their Florida GOP website is a bunch of merch. I hope people buy these so everyone knows who to not talk to ever again, whenever this fucking ends. Yeah. The context we're operating in here is that today, as we speak, the Senate is debating, doing Voterama shit on the... I refuse to call it the it's by its name, the if it passes in its current form, we'll establish ICE as the single largest internal policing entity in the United States. ICE would potentially have more employees than the FBI and more detention space than the Federal Bureau of Prisons. People should be throwing their bodies in the way of this shit. Like we're talking about ICE expanding its detention abilities. Like they just passed their record for in custody deaths yesterday. We're only halfway through the year. The previous record was 12, and they just hit 13. I think the guy that died was a 75-year-old Cuban guy who'd been in America since 1966. There is simply no way, these kind of camps kill old people and children. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. You cannot do it without killing people.
Of course, if there's no air conditioner in the fucking Everglades in July, I don't know if it'll just be fucking old people and kids, you know? There's no way around it. Many, many people will die from those conditions, I would imagine. Didn't they also just rescind the... because we talked before about their quotas. It's fucking 3,000 a day or whatever, and it's an impossible number to hit, which means there's going to be a lot of collateral damage. But didn't they also just, like, rescind the legal status of like 500,000 people, you know, who were otherwise legal. You know, they like Haitian,
The Haitians. Yeah, the Haitians came up. Their number came up, which is like the statement they put out being like, Haiti's safe now. They can go back.
Insane. The same. They don't even have like a fucking government down there.
Eric Prince currently has a contract from somebody to assassinate Haitian gang leaders with drone strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying it's safe to send people back there. As far as the sausage getting made of this bill, because everybody knows it's fucking toxic and evil, but they feel like they have to pass something, is utterly hilarious. Like, they originally had bought Lisa Murkowski's vote, this Republican senator from Alaska, by saying that the Medicaid work requirements, put language in there, where the Medicaid work requirements would not apply to non-contiguous states.
Right. So just Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah. Which is like, that's... So I guess if you wanted to not have Medicaid work requirements, you could just, in California, we could pray for an earthquake to slide us like slightly into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you get a saw and saw Florida off, like the fucking Looney Tunes cartoon. Yeah. And you could all have federal benefits again. Fuck. Anyway, the House, what do you call it? The parliamentarian said that was stupid and it didn't fly according to the Senate rule. So they stopped talking to the parliamentarian now. So none of the numbers add up anymore. Tom Tillis announced he's not going to run for re-election. He's a senator from Republican senator from North Carolina. Sort of being cast as an act of bravery, which it kind of is. It's more of a fuck you, I quit. But he's been an utter coward most of the time in the Senate, everything having to do with Trump. But the basic jam he's put in with North Carolina's half a purple state. He had a choice between voting for the bill and losing in the general, or voting against the bill and Trump saying he was going to primary him. So he's like, fuck you, you guys get a Democratic senator now next term. He gave a floor speech to his credit, shitting all over this bill and pointing out that the whole thing's based upon a lie. The Medicare cuts are slated to phase in after the midterms. They did that on purpose just so nobody would feel it, so they'd all get to keep one more term in their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bill to go through the particulars, the biggest wealth transfer in American history, kills the solar energy. It doesn't just like get rid of the tax subsidies. It raises taxes on solar wind projects just to sabotage them. $1 trillion cut to Medicaid, which is going to lead to, they say, 1 in 4 nursing homes closing, plus a bunch of rural hospitals. Energy shortages. Texas's fucking power grid probably cannot survive without wind and solar. It's like half wind and solar at this point. $4 trillion in new debt. Elon's even coming down the bill because of the wind and solar shit, because they need all this new power to supply their AI data centers. And the Democrats, to their credit, a lot of them are trying to assuage the evil languages bill and draw out the process as long as possible to increase political pressure on senators like Murkowski and Susan Collins to vote against this bill or soften the language in it. I want to play this video from John Fetterman earlier today complaining about how other senators are doing work.
I just want to go home. I'm already there. I missed our entire trip.
All right. It sounds like you can cut it, Matt. It sounds whatever. I'm not sure why it's fucked up. But what he was saying is like, oh, God, I just want to go home. We shouldn't be here until all hours of the night. I already missed my whole beach trip with my family. Motherfucker, I do not care about you going to Ocean City and dripping butter from crab legs in your tummy on the fucking beach. They're going to 17 million people are going to lose health care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's not like, you know, I don't know. How often are they even have to be there in D.C. doing what is actually their job anyway? Like, the vast majority of their time is spent just trying to keep themselves in office and, you know, asking people for money and fucking speaking engagements and all kinds of bullshit like that. But actually making laws or legislating, you know, they hardly ever do it anyway. And then when they go there, they just bitch about it the whole time. And people ain't nobody trying to hear that. Fucking do your job, especially coming from that dude.
If they keep everybody there 4 a.m. and somehow soften the language to make it so 5,000 people keep their health care, that's fucking worth it. And like, fuck.
All right. What do you, so normally they would need 60 votes, right, to pass it, but there's loopholes to make it to where they can do it with 51. And part of the give and take of that is that Democrats can add unlimited amendments to it or something like that. So they can like keep it. So it's like, they're going to, what, I mean, I guess nobody knows, right? Like, how long could this last? How long are they going to argue about it? Did, you know, when are we going to have an outcome from this? I mean, with, I guess with this outfit, there's just no way to know because it could go any number of ways. But because it's happening right now, right? Like, they're currently fucking with it right now. But
yeah, Trump wants to sign something before July 4th. That's, he wants to have a big party before July 4th. That's the impetus behind all this.
So. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about New York City, baby. So Zohra Mamdani won the New York Democratic primary in fairly for mayor in fairly overwhelming fashion, which was kind of unexpected considering he was polling at 0% at the end of last year and 2% in January. And he got 46% in the first round, which when you do the like ranked choice voting, he's going to get more and more votes as it goes. So it's pretty astounding victory. And everybody's freaking the fuck out. And one thing I want to ask, Trey, what is a mayor?
I mean, I don't know. I know in movies, especially 80s movies, they're, you know, the all-powerful king of whatever community is the protagonist or, you know, operating inside of. Like, you know, the mayor, they give people medals. They put ribbons on it. They cut big ribbons with large pairs of scissors. Uh-huh. These are all things that mayors do, I believe.
I was under the impression they were a mid-level bureaucratic functionary of like a municipal district, but apparently they're all powerful like Shah. Right. And I have no idea if he'll be a good mayor of New York. Neither does anybody else. I don't even think that's really possible anymore. When was the last time New York had what anyone would consider to be a good mayor?
We've said that before on here because we're talking about Eric Adams so much and everything. But like, it is funny how they literally never have a mayor that hits for them or other people. But like, I was just in New York a couple weeks ago for a week and we took a cruise around the island of Manhattan and it had the tour guide on it. We went by the Statue of Liberty and all this other stuff and it was great. And they're giving fun facts and shit the whole time. And he was very careful, I thought, to like not get into overt politics. Like, he literally read every word of the Statue of Liberty poem, right? But he didn't have any kind of commentary on it. He just read it. And of course, I'm sitting there thinking the whole time, it's like, I bet, you know, there's so many Americans today would be like, we need to get rid of that gay shit. You know, the poem about the give me your huddled masses and I light my lamp beside the golden door and all that. But he tried to be very apolitical. The only thing, in a 3-hour cruise, the only overtly political thing he said was, we went by the part of Manhattan where the mayor's mansion is. It's like up in the northeastern like part of the island of Manhattan, and you can see it from the water. And he was like, so yeah, that's where Mayor what's his name lives now. But you also notice the next thing you're going to see over here, this is the, whatever the name of it is, landfill. It's the largest landfill in the island of Manhattan, which is actually right beside the mayor's house, which most New Yorkers find to be exceedingly appropriate. So, right. Like, the only time he got political was to shit on the mayor, and not just Eric Adams, but like just the office of mayor in New York City. Like,
Eric Adams had a 20% approval rating. It's pretty safe to criticize him in New York. I don't know if Zohra Mamdani can possibly be a successful mayor of New York because the same forces are going to try to like stop him from getting elected are going to try to stop him from being successful. But it's just like the idea that they're afraid he'll be a bad mayor seems completely silly to me considering the current mayor is Eric Adams. They're afraid he'll be a good mayor.
Mm-hmm.
That people will like the shit he does. And that's what's fucking terrifying to them. Which is like why I find this hysteria hilarious. It's like the autoimmune response that happens in a political system. Anytime anyone proposes even small changes to directly help working people. Like the fact this guy, who's young and charming, charismatic, could win a primary by just walking around New York, shaking hands and talking to people of all stripes about the cost of living problem. That's how he becomes a Hamas woke communist.
Right. Yeah, I feel like the status quo Democratic establishment types really out themselves as being much closer to, you know, just like the Fox News crowd or whatever, whenever this type of situation comes up, because Mamdani's already getting the exact same treatment on Fox News that like AOC did when she first came out, where they'll post like a graphic that's entitled like, you know, radical leftist mayoral candidates' actual policies. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's a bullet point list that's like free baskets for newborn babies. You know what I mean? Lowered healthcare costs, more efficient bus system or whatever. Just stuff that's like objectively good for people, but it's framed in a fear-mongering way on Fox News that I don't even fucking understand. But then that's the same way that like Cuomo and Democrats like that talk about him too.
It's dude, just the presidential election was just in November, and I specifically remember Trump campaigning on $5,000 baby bonuses for newborns.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I was alive then. And now it's communism for him to send him a basket with fucking diapers and baby powder? This is a guy like so. Anyway, yeah, Zoran, if you watch the news, is a fundamentalist Muslim radical who happens to have a Brooklyn artist wife who he met on Hinge and didn't take his last name. And the idea that he's a Muslim sleeper agent. Does anybody remember last year when Eric Adams was indicted for being a spy for the government of Turkey?
Yeah.
Am I the only one who remembers that?
Right.
I wanted to start off here by talking about the a collection of what I call the most hinged responses. Maybe the most sane anti-Zoran take was Marjorie Taylor Greene saying this hits hard with an AI-generated image of the Statue of Liberty wearing a burqa. If you got this image, Matt.
Right. Again, they being Marjorie Taylor Greene and all of them on their side, especially lately in this era and the way they're treating immigrants and immigration, the very idea of it and sending people to concentration mm-hmm. camps and shit, they're way more openly disrespectful to what the Statue of Liberty stands for and is about than, you know, just being a Muslim politician or whatever Mamdani is doing. But I'm just saying, it's like she's right there beside Ellis Island. The whole thing is like, you know, about fucking welcoming people in. This is the melting pot. Come, things are better here. It's what we do. And it's like they're spitting in the face of Lady Liberty every single day of the Trump administration. So I don't want to hear that shit from her.
I feel like if they knew anything about what Shirelle actually was, they wouldn't be so afraid of it. Well, they'd just pretend to be
afraid probably
of it.
But love like, it.
But like... But oh yeah, the part they would love the parts of it that they imagined it is, but yeah. Like the what it actually is like directions on how to process your food and shit. But under Sharia law, Zoran would not be able to inherit property because his mom did not convert to Islam, right? So I don't think he's for it.
Mm-hmm.
So New York Young Republicans came out and asked the Trump administration to revoke Mamdani's citizenship and deport him, which. Congressman Andy Ogles came out in favor of. Carolyn Leavitt was asked today if Donald Trump was considering revoking his citizenship, and she laughed about it. Try it. Just try it, motherfucker. I'm at the point where it's like, just try it, motherfuckers. Let's just get to it. This is all so fucking insane, infuriating. But watch these two edited together CNBC clips. Where this first guy is struggling to remember the plot of The Dark Knight Rises, which he seems to think is a documentary.
What Batman is up against in Gotham and what the guy running for mayor is up against, that's what it reminds me of. They're taking Wall Streeters and making them walk out onto the ice in the East River and then they fall through.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There is a class warfare that's going
to... What's happened here, I think, is...
The rent's too high. You know what? The new mayor, potentially, of New York is going to freeze the rents, and everybody eats for free, so they don't have to worry.
Really?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How about the rich?
No.
Get shot?
No, yes. They get.
The voters of the United States will occasionally be like, hey, rich people, can you pay 50 cents more in taxes to buy milk for children?
Right.
And then Wall Street guys are like how the Bolsheviks did Tsar Nicholas's poor, beautiful daughter, Anastasia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Jesus Christ, man, you fucking whiny babies. They do not understand. They do not seem to understand that paying marginally more in taxes is the compromised position. What they're describing is if they don't let Zoran govern.
Right. Yeah. No, everybody's just got a fucking persecution complex or whatever. It's just like how Christians had to feel like they're actually the most, you know, oppressed minority in this country or whatever. Like rich people are like that, too. It's like they, you know, especially when this type of shit comes up. It's like you said, just asking them to pay marginally more. Like even not even up to levels that historically they have had to pay in this country. and still managed to, you know, like their grandpas still got rich as fuck when the marginal tax rate was much higher, you know, 50, 60 years ago or whatever. And fucking it was fine. Made the trust fund that they then used to build their wealth off of. But they act like if you just suggest we should even go back to 50% of that or whatnot, we're going to line them up in the street. We're going to, you know, start polishing the guillotines back up and stuff like that, which, you know, I mean, if they don't chill out, then maybe. But nobody's talking about that yet.
Occasionally, there'll be a guy who goes on CNBC or Fox Business who gives a rant about, yeah, I'm rich, but we got to do something about equality soon. We're all going to end up dead.
Right.
And then he mysteriously is never shown on the air again.
Yeah.
So here's another one. In response to Zoran Mamdani's primary win, Laura Loomer, the podcaster, apparently has hiring and firing authority in the White House over national security staffers. Laura Loomer pushes the idea that Muslim Uber, Lyft, and taxi drivers would start coordinating attacks on non-Jews to carry out jihad. I have no idea why she said non-Jews, but she did say that. I watched it.
I don't.
Do we have a legal regime where Uber drivers report to the mayor?
Right. Well, it's just all Muslims, Mark, I think. You know, they just have their meetings where they plan their jihads and stuff. And now he's the top Muslim in the area. You know, he's been elevated to chief Muslim in the New York metropolitan area.
Fundamentalist Muslims famously decide their leadership through elections. Mm-hmm. So here's the Rainbow Coalition of papaws that have come out against Zoran. There's something about him that I can't see. Like just triggers like about his type triggers the fucking craziest old people. Here's a guy at a protest in Queens. It was attended by like five people. They was talking. He's talking about Zoran used to make YouTube videos where he rapped when he was younger.
Mr. Mamdani's name is Mr. Cardamom. Mr. Cardamom is a C-class rapper.
is that his actual rapper name? I don't know. Mr. Cardamom or MC Cardamom or something like that?
Mr. Cardamom.
Mr. Cardamom was his rapper name. Okay, gotcha.
By the standards of such things, he wasn't that bad. It's not as bad as like Vivek when he Vivek's stupid rapper. Zoran at least writes his own shit. Vivek would just like do karaoke rap tunes. This isn't the worst one, but it did make me kind of laugh. It's a New Yorker write-up comparing Andrew Cuomo and Mamdani. One thing the candidates share, I suppose, that both get accused of being nepo babies. Mamdani's mother made the 1991 indie romance Mississippi Masala. Cuomo's father was the governor of New York.
Yeah, basically the same thing.
A 1991 movie that there was one of Denzel Washington's first starring roles when he was basically an unknown that grossed $7 million at the box office about him falling in love with an Indian lady in Mississippi has made Zoran Mamdani the most powerful unstoppable force.
Yeah, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
On the Democratic side, like, they're going to do what they... I imagine what they usually do is just dither around and eventually come around to the same position for most of them. But a lot of them aren't like a lot of these strategists and advisors here are saying, like, look at these nightmare policies. And it's a bunch of like populist, slightly lefty stuff that, like, well, they may not find super realistic. It's obvious why it has an appeal to a Democratic base. If their determination to have learned nothing since 2016 is absolutely fundamentally amazing to me. Here's one of CNN's data guys, Harry Hinton, talking about this.
The most of a Democratic establishment. We have seen poll after poll after poll showing Democratic voters fed up with their leaders in Washington, fed up with their leaders in government. And
They've been complaining about the problem with young men voters. Guess who turned out? Who had a huge turnout Tuesday, right? Since Zoran won Tuesday night, more than 1,100 young people reached out to runforsomething.net to explore run for local office, according to them. It's one of their biggest spikes of the year. It's worth noting that one of the things that Zoran did to pander to young people did not include curse for no reason, talk about hip-hop groups in the 90s, and push cryptocurrencies. He didn't do any of that shit. And it's worth noting that
he made social media videos with the Cumtown Boys.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, those guys hit for me. Those guys are hilarious. So it was a good call on his part.
He also, like, because he doesn't rock with cancer culture shit. Right.
He's right. Like, yes, he doesn't. Right. He's the. Yes, exactly.
he'll go anywhere and talk to anybody, which is what they say they should be doing. And he actually does it and pulls it off. They're like, no, not like that. Because you actually said you wanted to do stuff. That's not what we meant. We meant go on Joe Rogan and talk about UFC, not go on Comptown and talk about raising the universal basic income or some shit. Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like you said, the old guard, like you said, I don't know. The world and the majority of the left has been screaming at them for, you know, years now that, like, they need to get with the times or just fuck off would be better. But that they're not – people ain't picking up what they're laying down and haven't been for a long time, but they're just clinging to it for dear life, you know. And I don't know if it's just human nature. It's like the relinquishing of power. People just don't want to do it. Like, you get into these positions and you just won't let it go. But they're burying their heads in their sand and refusing to face it. Or if it's just like they had such a good setup for so long in terms of – you know, how the status quo benefited them and people like that, you know, it worked out very well for them. And it's like, they just can't accept that it's like, that it's over or what, but.
Dude, the politics here, they act like they're so complicated, but they're so simple. And a political organizer who I won't name, but let's say his name is producer Hatton Mildreth.
Yeah.
who for his day job, does a lot of polling of rural people, has told me repeatedly when he goes in these pitch meetings, he tells them, like, the number one thing you can do to sway people is just shit on fucking rich people.
Right.
Everyone hates billionaires. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hate them. The lane here is obvious to anyone who wants to see it is, my boss makes a dollar, I make a dime, that's why I take a shit on company time.
Right.
But they will not shit on billionaires. They do everything they can to not do it. And that's why they hate him, is because he shit. Like, he gently shits on billionaires. I'll show you a video clip in a minute. But, like, everyone's trying to make this about anti-Semitism, which is fucking hilarious to me because they just tried this hustle for fucking, it's a mayoral election about the city of New York. A military conflict 7,000 miles away doesn't have much bearing on anybody who, like, their day-to-day life living there. But, like, so.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, even that, the first time I saw the mayoral primary race even get brought up was when they were on some local, like, regional debate that they all did between the candidates, and they all got, it was demanded that they all stand with Israel or whatever. And he was the only one that's the first time I even heard of him. But as so many people point out, it's like, what the fuck does Israel have to do with the city, the municipality of New York and being the mayor there? Like, what?
Like, to go through what actually happened, there was like an 8-person debate or whatever. And to go from person to person, where would your first foreign trip be? And it's like everyone escalates, like, Israel. And we go, Israel, because it's the Holy Land. Israel would be my fourth trip. Israel, they go, and then they get to Zoran and be like, I would stay in the five boroughs and work with New Yorkers of all stripes. And he goes,
right.
Do you support? He's like, I will speak to the Jewish people here in New York. I'll work with them. I'll go to speak with them with their mosques, yada, yada, yada. But I work here in New York. It's like, do you believe Israel has a right to exist? He goes, yes, I believe Israel has a right to exist. And they go, as a Jewish state, and he goes, as a state with equal rights. And everybody fucking lost their mind.
Right.
So, like, let me quote here. The globalized intifada thing you're going to be hearing a lot about, if you haven't already. He was asked about that. Some people at one of the campus Gaza protests chanted globalized intifada. Intifada being the term of resistance used in the, you know, the first intifada, second intifada. The first one was peaceful. The second one was violent in Gaza in the 90s, I think. It's kind of a trap question. It's one of those, do you still beat your wife questions? Because if 5 people at a 10,000 person rally chant something, does everybody own it? He's been asked about it a bunch. He's basically like, I don't think the true meaning of a protest should be obscured by a few people saying something, which is the only way out of that trap, right? So he was asked about it on Tim Miller's podcast again. And he goes, I want to read here from his answer. This is the one that set everybody off. And you're going to see how crazy it is that people are trying to pretend this is anti-Semitic, okay? The first thing, as you were saying, is anti-Semitism is a real issue in our city, and it's one that can be captured in statistics, the ones that you're citing. And it's also one that you will feel in conversations you have with Jewish New Yorkers across the city. I remember one conversation I had with a friend of mine after the horrific war crime of October 7th. He was telling them that he went to Shabbat services at his temple, and he was facing forward when he heard the door open, and a chill went up his spine because he didn't know who was coming in. And that's more than a year ago. He recounts another conversation with a Jewish man in Williamsburg who told him that the same door he would keep unlocked for decades, he now locks out of fear of what could happen in his own neighborhood. And he goes on to talk about how he has a plan to increase anti-hate crime programming by 800% in the Department of Cuban Community Safety. Hitler.
Right. I don't know. He just said, yeah, there's real anti-Semitism is a real thing. And I've talked with people that have, you know, concerns about it. And also October 7th was super fucked up. I mean, what else did he even say right there in that quote that you just read?
But my Jewish friends, they don't feel safe, and I feel awful about that. I'm going to increase hate crime spending as anti-hate crime spending as a mayor, right? So in response to this, Morning Joe, I watched a clip of him where he repeatedly says that Joran wants to globalize the infitata. He said it wrong like 10 times. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of repeating it, not to get all like the level of politics these people are experts at, is the purpose of repeating it over and over again is to get you to think he said globalize the intifada, right? Which he never said. And it's worth noting, again, a point that's already failed. New York City is one of the most Jewish cities in the world. He got a bunch of Jewish people's votes. This hustle did not work. I have no idea who the fucking target of it is. And this is an environment where the White House Bible study, the guy leading White House Bible studies, is teaching people the Jews killed Jesus. This guy named Ralph Drollinger. Mm-hmm. He also hates Catholics, by the way. Drollinger says that Israel may have killed Jesus, but God never meant it to hold that against them forever. Therefore, thank you for your forgiveness, Rod. So we need to talk about Brad Lander here for a minute, a really cool guy. He was basically Zoran's running mate, even though he was also running for mayor. The beauty of ranked choice voting is you can do coalitions, right?
Yeah, and he got detained too, right?
He's the guy that got arrested, but he's been going escorting people in and out of immigration court for years. And the first time they tried to snatch somebody without saying why, he'd like say, "Excuse me, sir," and then they arrested him. He got let out later that evening or whatever. So Zoran went to protest to get him released. Yada yada yada. They're two man buddy acts pretty fun. Lander's Jewish is an important context here. Probably helped people who were barely informed feel safer by voting for Zoran. And so they did a cross endorsement thing here. I want to watch this video and see how utterly scary and frightening Mamdani is, and how this is fucking.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
Please go second.
No, I insist you go second.
How about I go first and you go second?
Well,
we both love New York City.
And that's why it's so important to not send scandal-ridden, corrupt Andrew Cuomo to City Hall.
A disgrace.
They teamed up to beat Cuomo because he's one of the biggest assholes in fucking national and American politics, and they successfully did it. Congratulations to them. I want to think a little bit more about Xander's not just Jewish. He's a self-proclaimed Zionist, although he seems like a fairly moderate one by the standards of such things. Let me quote here from Forward, which is a Jewish publication. This is just fucking hilarious. I love Brad Lander. For what I know about him. Lander, who is as comptroller, is the city's highest ranking Jewish elected official, deployed Yiddish curses against political rivals who questioned his commitment to Israel. I'm going to fuck up reading this Yiddish because I don't know how to pronounce
it. I'm looking forward to this. Go ahead.
A Beiser Gzar Zol Er Af Der Cumens, Lander said, denying Cuomo's claim that Lander had divested from Israeli bonds. The Yiddish curse means, may an evil decree come upon him. Mayor Adams wasn't spared either. After hearing that Adams attacked his Israel record, Lander responded, gay kaken afen yam, which is Yiddish for go poop in the ocean. And for his service to the people of New York, Brad Lander got to give this speech election night, and I want to just all enjoy it real quick.
Andrew Cuomo is in the past. He is not the present or future of New York City. Good fucking riddance.
Yes. Yeah, he's basically, he also went on to say, we're not going to let people divide Jewish and Muslim New Yorkers. So Mamdani, because they're making, turn this to a national election to make everybody very scared, even though New York has a population of more than 38 states. So it's not nothing, but can you name the governor, what the 12th most populous state is and what the governor of it is? Because I can't.
No, but, you know, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, New York, we almost always know who the mayor of New York, you know what I mean? Because I was thinking that too. I was like, it's so wild that this has become so relevant. Because you're right, it is like a hot button thing, and it's like very culturally relevant, and they want to use it to fearmonger. But also, we always be knowing what's going on with New York's mayor and shit, oftentimes because they're crazy. But still, like, it's still, usually you're up on it, you know?
Yeah, so they go on SNL and stuff.
And I was going to say, SNL is a huge part of it, for sure.
Yeah. Here's a Mamdani. We did the Sunday show rounds this week, and here's Kristen Welker on NBC asking him about his stance on billionaires.
You are a self-described democratic socialist. Do you think that billionaires have a right to exist?
I don't think that we should have billionaires because, frankly, it is so much money in a moment of such inequality. And ultimately, what we need more of is equality across our city and across our state and across our country. And I look forward to work with everyone, including billionaires, to make a city that is fairer for all of them.
Yeah. So she basically phrased it, should billionaires exist? Like, do you want to murder them?
Yeah, right.
So,
and he didn't back off of it either, though. Really, you know, I mean, he said, "I don't think we should have them." Like, he didn't, you know, he kind of like he didn't duck it, you know, like you might, you know, like you might expect. It was just like he kept it real.
In an era we're living through, where Elon and Peter Thiel have bought the fucking government, do you not understand now why we shouldn't have people that fucking rich? Like the people's freaking out over this shit. Like, let me read this headline from Bloomberg. Zoran Mamdani's shock win as Wall Street fretting over quote hot commie summer end quote. Hammering how stupid this is. The headline, the photo in the news article has Zoran standing in front of a pool that no longer has lap hours in the morning because of a lifeguard shortage because of fucking Eric Adams' budget cuts.
Right.
If you're wondering what his actual political agenda is, the baby baskets, rent freezes on rent stabilized units, which Bill de Blasio did a bunch, and most units are not rent stabilized, so it doesn't even apply to most of them. A pilot program for 5 city-run grocery stores, one in each borough. Free buses, which is just the point of that, is to make them go faster, so more people ride them and traffic moves faster, because people aren't like arguing with the bus driver being 50 cents short on their Metro card. And a $30 minimum wage when it's 17 right now. Now, 30 is the ass, so you get 22. They're freaking out like he's going to get 30. It's like, again, he's not a fucking dictator. And permitting reform to make it easier for small businesses, which is a libertarian thing.
Right.
And if you want to know if he's a communist, I was like, let me ask let's find out what the communists think of him to see if he's a communist. I went to a communist website, says, why communists can't support Zoran Mamdani. Their beef is he doesn't end capitalism right away. His plan is to raise the tax on the rich by 2% on incomes over $1 million, which means if you make $1.1 million, you pay an extra $2,000.
Fucking slow down, Karl Marx. Goddamn. Fucking a little extreme, don't you think? Yeah, no, that's fucking. It's also because people, too, don't realize, like you said, that a lot of people don't know how that even works, where it's like it's only income over that. Like, you can make up to $1 million a year, which is so much, and it doesn't even matter. It's just, and then over that, it's a slight increase in income over that. That it's all people are talking about, and they get called communist for suggesting things like that. You know,
yeah. Here's like the Wall Street Journal had an article on bankers panicking, and then this line cracked me up. Let me quote here: other bankers who quietly supported Mamdani wouldn't talk on the record. One tries to use a fake name. So Wall Street bankers are like, hello, I actually care about others and that could really hurt my career. Can I use a nom de plume? So this
is like
a cop
thinking you shouldn't plant coke on a black guy. pulled over for no fucking reason.
I wanted to quote it like, so New York had a mayor called LaGuardia. You might have flown into an airport named after him because he was so beloved.
Yeah.
He was also called a socialist. Here's a New York Times editorial board in 1935. Quote, he seems to want to have in hand some socialistic plaything or other. Just now it is a municipal power plant. LaGuardia himself understood exactly how this rhetorical game worked. In a reflective moment in 1933, he lamented to the Times, when anyone raises a question about the existing order, he is called called a radical, only because I have consistently objected to things which I believe unjust and dangerous. When LaGuardia spoke forcefully against fascism abroad in 1938, conservative groups dismissed him as, quote, un-American, socialistic, and communistic. I just want to say about the city-run grocery stores thing. My first time living in New York, I stayed out in Bed-Stuy, and I had to walk like 25 minutes in the snow to a store that described itself as an organic grocery store. It's the closest place they had vegetables, and they had one stock of half rotten broccoli for $9. Mm-hmm. There are parts of New York that have no access to groceries outside of dollar store type shit and fast food places. This is about food deserts. Cities have specific problems. He's not trying to put Kroger and Aldi and Trader Joe's out of fucking business.
Right.
17 states have state-run liquor stores. New York State owns 3 different fucking ski resorts, which is not communist. But if you tried to make the lifts free, that would be fucking communist.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime American voters are so cucked, anytime they ask for their tax dollars to be spent on themselves instead of rich people, they call it a handout. I'm losing my goddamn mind.
Yep. Well, that makes millions of us. You're not alone in that. But again, we're halfway through the first year of this, this second go around with the Trump administration. It's going. I mean, it's going very badly, but we're all like still alive and everything, including you guys. I'm statistically, some of y'all have died, but I'm glad that most of you are here and watching and listening and everything. Anyway, well, that's going to be it for us this weekend. I'm going to remind you real quick, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. If you're in the LA area, please come to Largo next Wednesday, July 9th. Also check out Trash Daddy, link to it on the website there. Listen to Matt's new audio exclusive on our podcast feed called Good Skews if you want to be uplifted a little bit, and consider signing up to our Patreon, getting 2 extra bonus episodes per month and supporting the show in the process for only $5. So other than that, you keep coming back on Skews Days, and we will too. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Skews.